All right, let me jump on into today's Right Side Way opening monologue. I'll remind you guys that every single day, attorney Stan McDonald, a partner at the law firm of Wilmer & Lee, he is indeed your daily sponsor of the Right Side Way monologue. He's a longtime conservative, and I'll tell you more about Stan here in just a few minutes. All right, so let me just start off by saying I used to go backpacking quite a bit. I loved it. It was one of my favorite things in the world to do. And I don't know when I got away from it. I think my life got different. But I say used to because, like I said, it doesn't happen anymore. Maybe my life got busier. Maybe it got too serious. I don't know. Maybe I got to where sleeping on the ground didn't have near as much allure as it used to. But I loved hiking all day to be able to pitch a tent and sit by the fire at night. I spent time in the Rockies. But my usual backpacking trips were in the Southeast within a stone's throw of home, like in the Smokies or the Appalachian Trail region or along the Pinhoti Trail in Alabama. One of my favorite trails that I did multiple times was to hike from a place called Amicalola Falls in North Georgia up to what is known as the Advance Trail for about 8.3 miles over some pretty serious terrain to get to Springer Mountain. Springer Mountain is where the official southern end of the Appalachian Trail is located. And it was a tough hike, no doubt. It was like, felt like more uphill than downhill. On one particular trip, I went up there with a friend, and we made the ascent all the way up to the top of Springer Mountain, Georgia. We found a trail shelter there, which really a trail shelter more often than not is like a three-sided raised floor with a roof, but it gets you off the ground and out of the rain. So we slept in the shelter feeling pretty good about ourselves in that long 8.3-mile hike in. And the next morning, we were up, heating some water to make our morning coffee, and another hiker came walking up. He had a beard down to his chest, and all of his gear looked pretty well worn, like good quality gear, but all really kind of like worn down a bit. We greeted each other, and he asked where we had come from, and I said, we hiked up from the Halt Falls, and I felt pretty good about myself when I said it. And he said something pleasant, and then I asked him the same. What about you? Where'd you come in from? He just sighed and said, Maine. And I was slack jaw amazed. He followed up by saying, really almost disbelievingly, he said, yeah. He said, seeing you here on Springer means I just finished 6 months, 634 miles straight through. Well, at that point, I had nothing. I mean, he was what is known in whispered tones as a thru-hiker, somebody who starts the Appalachian Trail at Mount Katahdin in Maine and doesn't stop until they get all the way to Springer Mountain, Georgia. And many start, but few make it. And it was an honor to talk to him for a bit and even offer him a cup of coffee. And to realize that somebody else can come along and they can have a story that casts shadows on all the rest. Kind of put me in my place in the right way. And I took it the right way, even offered him a cup of coffee. And I can say all that because A, it's a cool story, but B, because in my opinion, what I just described to you is sort of indicative of the way Democrats are viewing Trump right now. But without the congratulatory cup of coffee. Dems think they had trouble on the border. Trump fixed it. Dems think they know how to fix crime, but then Trump actually fixes it. Dems want to know how to lower the cost of eggs, but then Trump actually does it. Dems want to strengthen our industrial base, but then Trump takes it to the next level. Dems want social justice, and then Trump teaches them about actual justice. And they're puffed up thinking they got something going on, and every time they turn around, Trump actually outdoes them. It's all pretty funny in a clown show sort of way. And they're like really apoplectic right now. I mean, Democrats are like a school of minnows that dart and dash in all directions every time a shadow crosses the water. I mean, there's going everywhere. Democrats are like running constantly and nobody's even chasing them. Maxine Waters? I mean, Maxine Waters is always good for a half-baked soundbite that said that Trump is trying to start a civil war. She said that yesterday. Wow. I'll play that clip for you later. Maxine Waters, a civil war, she says. Well, that's some messy talk right there. Does anybody really believe that? I mean, not for a minute, really. The states that make up this nation are intertwined. I mean, like it or not, California has one of the largest economies in the world just by itself. Texas is host to multiple U.S. military installations. Colleges in every state host kids from every state to come to their schools. Cars that are made in Alabama are sold in New York. Goods that are shipped from overseas arrive in ports in Louisiana and get shipped in all over the United States. Crab that's caught in Maine is eaten in Illinois, and potatoes grown in Iowa are eaten in Tennessee. But I will say that the Civil War hyperbole has been a little bit more ostentatious on the left recently. The left uses the idea of civil war like a bludgeon. It's an accusation. It's a tactic. How many times have we had to endure the endless leftist cajoling about the so-called insurrection of January 6th? That infamous day when armed insurgents stormed the nation's capital with the intent to overthrow the U.S. government and install a puppet government to do their bidding. Yeah, right. I'm sorry, that's not what happened. We're informed by the liberal media that Donald Trump is sure to become a dictator, capable of suspending habeas corpus, doing away with the Constitution, and imposing martial law. Never mind that the Congress, the courts, and even his most ardent supporters would never stand for those kind of things, even if he had the slightest inclination to even do so. It's as if the Democrats need a civil war just to prove themselves right. They post their memes about civil war and it makes them feel stronger in their liberal positions. Well, I got news. The regime media, the leftist politicians, the hand-wringing Karens, and the rioting activists don't realize that their rhetoric just makes them look foolish. And not just sort of foolish, but like full-on clown car, paste-eating, flag-burning foolish. Civil war is not on our horizon. The left knows that, and it is panicking, because it needs it. The left needs to stoke division. They need to promote fear, because as they learned so well during the pandemic, if you can stoke the passions of fearfulness, you can truly control a society. They need your fear. They feed on it. It gives the left strength. It gives them a wicked sense of hope that you will cow down and allow them to continue having their way. So they press on with their claims of insurrection and dictatorship and brewing civil war. But having said all that, I want to talk about what we have to ultimately be careful with on our own side. What we have to be careful with on the right is to not allow a batch of stupid to break out. A batch of stupid. Think about it. One moment of stupid on our southern border. One moment of passion from someone who feels aggrieved. One shot, single shot even, fired in anger. Or a threat to a liberal politician, or a demonstration that gets out of hand, and the left will pounce on it and they will yell, "Aha! We told you so! Civil war!" And we cannot give them that satisfaction. Look, stupid is as stupid does, according to the great philosopher Forrest Gump, and we need to keep the stupid tamp down. But I'm also going to lay this on you. I am not saying don't take action. I am not. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is don't take stupid action. There was a scene in the movie Gladiator in which Maximus looked at Senator Gracchus and he said, "The time for half measures and talk is over, Senator." And I will add to that what Ronald Reagan once said, "The future does not belong to the faint-hearted, it belongs to the brave." We do not have the luxury of sitting idle. We can't. There is a true movement afoot right now to undo our culture, our traditions, and our liberties. And it's happening on a daily basis. And I'm concerned what our nation would have looked like if we had had to endure another four-year Biden term. And we have made great strides in the last 6 months. And we have done right out in the open everything the Democrats hate, and we've done it right in their faces. But we cannot let that be undone by any one person who decides to take matters in their own hands and roll out a heaping batch of stupid and set us back. And make no mistake, the left is looking for it. They want to have that "I told you so" moment when one member of the right gets stupid and we all have to pay for it. But tamping down the stupid does not mean you hunker down and do nothing. It does not at all mean that we should play the safe game, not take chances or take decisive action. That's what it will take to recoup the ground that the left stole over the last 4 years. So I'm telling you, play hard, work hard, politic hard, but keep the stupid tamp down. One of my favorite passages from Scripture is 1 Chronicles 12. In that passage, we're told about a group of men who became known as David's Mighty Men. I've mentioned it to you on the show before. I've always pictured David's Mighty Men as like that close-knit group of guys who sat around the fire with William Wallace and Braveheart. You know what I'm talking about? Warriors who could handle themselves in battle despite all the odds, but there was not a touch of stupid in any of them. Nobody was known as being rash, disorderly, or undisciplined. One of the groups who made up parts of David's Mighty Men were the sons of Issachar. And it says in that passage of them that they were, quote, "men who understood the times with knowledge of what Israel should do." Look, conservatives everywhere are getting busy. We are. People who have never gotten involved in anything more than Sunday school are now leading calls for change, organizing groups to lobby their elected officials. Local and state politicians are taking notice of this, and state houses are seeing the formation of state-level freedom caucuses. Moms are questioning school boards. Libraries are being brought back in line. There's a sense of purpose in our conservatism right now, perhaps more than we've ever seen in recent memory. And these are smart moves. Smart moves. And we need more smart moves and less stupid moves. The conservative right does not want civil war, regardless of what the left says. We just want our country back. We aren't spoiling for an actual fight. We're not screaming for blood. There's no true and organized effort for insurrection. Donald Trump is not a tyrant, and we are not stupid. But we are indeed fully and completely aware of our times, and we have knowledge of what America must do. And the time for half measures and talk is over. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way.